This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. We're moving to new hours, 9 to noon starting on Monday when we switch to 104.1 KMOX. We'll still be on 11:20 a.m. as well. Don't worry about that. So if you like that signal not going away, obviously you can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. We go to the guest line this morning and we bring in a friend of the show, Will Leach, who is a writer, contributor to New York Magazine, MLB.com. You can catch his movie reviews on Grierson and Leach. And Will Leach is with us now on KMOX. How's it going, Will?
Of course. Thanks for having me. I feel like I'm on the pregame show today. You guys are going to the game. This is exciting. It's the closest I'll ever get to host one.
It's very close to pregame. So it's going to be us and you, and then pregame starts at about 11:55, and then we have Cardinals baseball today.
Well, then I will pretend the weather here in Florida is beautiful.
Hey, there you go.
I'm there on set.
So we are getting closer to the season here. The opener is Monday. Or excuse me, but we're switching on Monday. But the opener is next week on the 27th, and they will host the Minnesota Twins. So as we are almost, just a little over a week away from opening day, how you feeling about these birds?
You know, it's weird. It's been a strange spring because it's felt like kind of like the way the whole season kind of feels already, which is kind of in the middle, right? Like you want to get excited. Like to me, one of the best stories of the spring has been Victor Scott. Victor Scott has, there's a great story by John Denton at MLB.com today about all the work that Victor Scott has put in, how he went to Jupiter early this year, how he's been studying Rod Carew and Vince Coleman. And really he's like dedicated himself to making it this year. And he's had a terrific spring and he's still may go to Memphis, which is strange because theoretically this was the season where the Cardinals were going to be building all around these sort of type of young players. And I think that's indicative. It's certainly not Scott's fault that he could be sent to Memphis, so that's not certain yet. It's really more that like the Cardinals are kind of in this middle ground of, okay, it's kind of a reset year where you want to play the young players. So you've gotten Jordan Walker, so you've gotten Nolan Gorman, so you've gotten some of these guys, see if they can establish themselves the way that, say, Mason Wynn has. But then you look at the rotation, and there's three guys over 30, and two of which are in the last year of the contracts, and it feels like the Cardinals are they're not rebuilding, but they're not really going for it either. I think there's an upside to this team. I do, and for all the talk about Nolan Arenado and the trade in the offseason, I think this team is better with Nolan Arenado. Hot take: future Hall of Famer being on the team makes them better. I think at a certain level, there's stuff to be excited about this year's team. It's just hard to get your arms around the direction because there are young players there, but some of them are playing and some of them aren't, and some older players have left and some haven't. It's hard to figure out exactly whether they have whether this is really kind of a half measure season, whether they're going all the way in or they're not going all the way in.
Well, I think maybe indicative of that confusion or maybe kind of trouble reconciling the language that's being used with what we're seeing on the field. You know, a lot of talk about it's a tryout here in spring training, and players are going to earn their spots. And a lot of baseball analysts are saying, well, if you're looking at it as a pure tryout, Victor Scott II has had such a great spring training, and yet it looks like the team's moving with Michael Ciani, which then would imply it's not just a straight-up tryout looking at your performance at spring training.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, is getting back to this whole idea of what exactly is the goal for this season. Because I think the real reason that Scott maybe is not making the team over Ciani is not so much that they like Ciani more. I mean, they're roughly the same age. I mean, Ciani's a little bit older. It's really more that they think long-term Scott is a guy that can be a centerpiece of this team, but they want to get him at-bats every day. So then the question is, okay, well, why don't you just put him in center field now? Well, the problem is you kind of want to make sure Lars Nubar gets to play every day, and so does Brendan Donovan, and so does Jordan Walker, which is to say you're thinking more about this year's team rather than the future. And I think it really puts in stark terms that kind of inherent conflict that's happening this year. And I wonder if there will be some clarity with this. It's the spring training. Eventually the games happen and people start playing. We start seeing things in real time and guys start getting hurt. And just like a lot of times these decisions get made for you. But I do think that general confusion that Cardinals fans have had, Victor Scott II is the perfect example of it. And it's fun because the Cardinals would argue that the fact that they're sending him down is in fact a sign that they have faith in him, because they don't want him to come up and be in center field and be a platoon with Lars Nootbaar, have to fight for time. They want him to be in Memphis and play every day. And that does make a certain amount of sense, except, okay, well, then they better get a result out of playing someone like Lars Nootbaar in center field every day this year immediately. And I think that's the thing, is if you want to work for the future, it's Scott. If you want to work for now, it's Nootbaar. But then we find ourselves in this middle space of, okay, what is this year about again? Because they didn't add anything to where this year would make you feel like was what was most important to them. I think that's what's confusing. And yeah, and Scott has almost forced their hand. I think if Scott would have struggled in the spring a little bit, this would have been obvious. Like, he needs more time in Memphis. He looks quite ready now, which I think makes it that much more a difficult position and that much more confusing to the fans.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think that you're right. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to the fan base because they look at the offseason, they feel like they did not do enough one way or the other. You have people like Jim Bowden, whether or not you agree with him, who I believe gave them an F for their offseason. I don't know if it was that bad, but there were a lot of people around baseball and executives around baseball anonymously who said they were surprised the Cardinals did not do more. So do you feel that way? Do you feel like it was a bad offseason for them?
Well, on a certain level, and I, with all due respect for Jim Bowden and my fellow media members, we tend to give low grades for people that give us less things to talk about over the offseason. And the Cardinals didn't give anyone anything to talk about in the offseason. So there's a sense of, well, come on, it's a hot stove. We're supposed to be doing stuff, and the Cardinals did nothing. So I think an F is definitely too harsh. I do think, however, that the notion that the Cardinals didn't do anything, I didn't know one until Phil Maton just last week, the fact they didn't do anything certainly would seem to indicate, okay, 2025 isn't the priority. I think that's okay. If that's the goal, if that's what's clear about the team, I don't think this is this. I don't think they made, to me, the bad off seasons are when you make a mistake that will cost you for a long time. Well, you sign a player that for more money because you're desperate or you want to win right now. The Cardinals did not make any mistakes like that this offseason. They couldn't. They didn't sign anyone. But at a certain level, to me, a bad offseason would have been looking at the 2025 team and saying, okay, we've got to spend as much money as possible trying to make this team win right now, or like trading away a young player to try to go out somewhat like bad idea to go after a championship this year. That would have been a bad offseason. The Cardinals did not do that, which is to me why I think an F is kind of ridiculous. But then it comes back to this original, that original notion, though, of, okay, well, if you're not going to do anything in the offseason, that tells us that 2025 isn't that much of a priority. So show us what you're doing for 2026. But they're not really doing that either. And I think that, and listen, it's hard. It's let's not forget the Cardinals have a somewhat unprecedented transition in management coming off this season, right? Like the idea that this is John Mozeliak's last year and he'll be Heimblum next year. They talk about it being a smooth transition. Everyone seems to say the right things and they seem like upfront people. But then you see this awkwardness of, okay, wait, are we doing this year or are we not doing this year? You can't help but wonder if that kind of transition of, okay, you're in charge now, but this person will be in charge next year, is leading to this sense of almost suspended animation with the team.
Where do you see Michael McGreevy in the Cardinals' rotation this year, if at all?
I think one thing they're definitely doing right with him is they're going to keep him as a starter, whether he starts in Memphis or whether he starts in St. Louis, which I think is definitely smart. The Cardinals have been sometimes kind of tug guys back and forth. They'll start in the rotation. They'll put him in the bullpen. They'll go back and forth in that way. I think committing to McGreevy as a rotation guy seems very smart. And one of the things that's been frustrating is when they've talked about the competition for the last starting spot in the rotation, they've been like, it's between McGreevy and Liberatore, or McGreevy and Pallante, which honestly, like, if we were talking about something different than 25 versus 26, it'd be like, well, both those guys are pitching better than Miles Michaelis. Both those guys are pitching better than Steven Matz. Why are we putting the competition between these two young players when ostensibly those just put them both in there? And because Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz are clearly not a part of the Cardinals' future. I think maybe they'll get some value out of them this year. I think I'm probably more optimistic about Matz than Michaelis. But certainly, maybe you can get something out of them this year. But if the point is to build to this future, you've got two pitchers in their 20s who have been pitching, with three pitchers in their 20s who have been pitching well and would seem to be up for a rotation spot, but their spots are blocked not by each other, but by guys in their 30s. And so McGreevy is, I think, he's kind of the pitching equivalent of Scott in that kind of idea, where he's kind of earned a spot, and I think it would make some sense to put him there. But you've got kind of these older players that you can't really push out of the way. And I think that's another thing the Cardinal fans have noticed. One of the things that I think has been frustrating about the last few years has been the notion that there's a certain inertia that comes in. You respect the vets. You got to give this guy some, even if things are, some players not performing, he's been here a while. He's leadership. He's good in the clubhouse and so on. And there's certainly value to that, but you still have to be able to perform on the field. That sort of Cardinals inertia of always kind of bending toward the older players and leaning toward tradition rather than like necessarily feeling like they're doing something new. I do feel like that's the sort of thing you're seeing specifically with a Michaelis. I think Matz, I think they're kind of counting on Matz getting hurt at some point. So I think that situation resolving itself. But certainly when it comes to the adherence to the idea that McGreevy and Liberatore and Pallante, there might not be spots in the rotation because of Miles Michaelis, who's going to be gone next year no matter what, is, again, indicative of that kind of in-the-middle confusion that the Cardinals are kind of at right now.
All right, so your Fighting Illini will play on Friday in the NCAA tournament. They will play the winner of Xavier and Texas, a game that is tonight. Who would you rather see?
All told, no matter who I say – I'd rather see that team's going to win tonight and beat Illinois. I just have already accepted that. So please don't play this for either team. But at a certain level, I do think talent-wise, Texas has a higher level talent team. Illinois is a very talented team that has had trouble executing at times. They actually struggled with the higher level teams. They tend to play pretty well against your sort of general bubble teams. Texas is a kind of a disappointing team like Illinois that could turn it on at any time. So I think I'd rather have Xavier, but please edit and change this if Texas wins tonight, because I feel exactly the opposite in that case. But it's very strange. I want to get so excited. I'm very envious of Mizzou fans. They know who they're playing, and they get to be angry because everyone's been picking Drake. Drake has been like the hot upset and so on, and that gets to get fired up. I can't even get fired up about the matchup because I don't even know who we're playing yet. So, but it'll be kind of, I think both, this has been a really fun season for both Illinois and Mizzou, as obviously with the bragging rights game. It's always a really, both teams have track each other throughout the year. To see them both getting the same seed while going very different routes to get there, I think it speaks very well for not only both those programs, but some pretty great bragging right games in the future.
Well, I wish you the best of luck tonight, whatever happens, which I know you think is going to be the wrong thing. So it'll be.
Of course. It's Murphy's Law. Whatever, I will watch this game dispassionately in every possible way so as not to upset the college basketball gods. Yeah. Whoever comes to us, comes to us.
Will Leach, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for being with us. And you're going to have to be part of the new Gas House Gang show, which is going to start on Monday at 12. We're going 12 to 1. So we'll want you to be part of that moving forward.
I will follow Bernie and everyone else into wherever you will have me.
That's
Thanks
right.
for having me. Enjoy the game today.
See ya. That is Will Leach with us. And yeah, does a podcast with our guy, Bernie Miklas.